I never like to come to the last meeting. There's just something about it that I really, to be honest, I just almost cannot stand. When you travel a great deal as I do, and you be thrown really in close contact with people, as being as much in service as we are during these seminars, and just in a matter of hours, you really come to love people and to appreciate them. And then you realize, well, you've got to go, and you may never see some of them again. And it does something to me every time I always come to the last meeting, because the love that I receive from the people of God wherever I go just overwhelms me. And we have a saying in our church in Baxley that in the New Jerusalem, there's a street called Baxley, and all of our people are going to live on that street. And I'm sure you have probably a similar saying or similar thought that, you know, you're all so close together that even in heaven you want to be together. Well, I see I'm torn, because wherever I travel, I find people that I love, and I want to, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to be with all of them. And we will. We'll have the opportunity to, we won't have to be separated and maybe like we are here, never see one another again here. But when we get to heaven, we'll have all those millions and millions and millions of years to improve our talents that the Lord has given us, and to renew old acquaintances, and to make new acquaintances, and to talk over the good things the Lord has done for us. And we talk about camp meeting being a wonderful time. Well, none of the services we hold here hold any candle to what we will have when we get in the kingdom. And every time that I have to leave the people of God in different areas, I pray, Lord, hasten the kingdom. Hasten the kingdom where we won't have to separate anymore, but we'll all be together. And that day's coming. We can lift up our hearts and our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh. Well, I'm glad so many of you stuck by. I kind of wondered, after that last sermon, how many I would lose. But I'd lost, I guess, not too many. Some had to leave on different reasons. But I'm glad that you stuck by. That shows you really love the Lord and His message. If you can take what I dished out in the last meeting, you can take just about anything. And you know, that's the kind of people we're going to have to be, to take just about anything that the Lord hands us and hold on anyway. And having done all to stand there for. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about preparation for the coming storm. We know there's going to be a storm to be breaking on God's people. We need to be ready. We've learned about the privileges that God has for us. We've learned about the responsibilities that go along with those privileges. And now we need to know how to be prepared to handle both the privileges and the responsibilities. And I hope that as we study together tonight, we will find that out. Our text is found in the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11. And that, knowing the time, but now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our text, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I don't have to preach to you. The pastor doesn't have to preach to you. The Sabbath school teacher doesn't have to teach you concerning the seriousness of the time we live in. We're all aware of that. And we realize that with the seriousness of time, that it is necessary for us to make some sort of preparation to face the days of trouble that lie ahead. If you are a student of the Bible, a student of the spirit of prophecy, you have a knowledge of these events. And most all Adventists know something concerning the times of trouble that lie ahead. But a knowledge of these events are not any help to us if we have no experience of repentance and confession, of being cleansed from sin, and having a heart relation with Christ. To make this preparation, we must have victory over sin. And that victory will only come through God, deliverance by God. Only through deliverance from sin, only through victory over sin, can we as a people give the world the message that it needs. We must make the preparation. The time of trouble that will shortly come upon this earth, only those who are sealed with the seal of the living God will go through this time. And the preparation is now. The serve the Lord says now we are in the sealing time.
Now is the time to make preparation. What type of preparation? How do we go about preparing for this time of trouble? Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. Familiar text. Matthew 25, 1 through 12. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather unto them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. As we study this particular passage, we are made to aware that they were all virgins. They were all pure. They were all members of the church of God. They were not hypocrites. Even the 5 foolish were sincere members of the church. We don't find them out in the bingo parlors. We don't find them in the dance halls. We don't find them in the movie theaters. They were all together. They were all virgins. They were all members of the church. And they all slept. Does not this describe Laodicea, a sleeping people? We are all members of the church of God. But there was a difference in these virgins. And what was that difference? The difference was in the preparation that they made. Of course, we know from the study of the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy that these virgins represent the church of the last days. All of them, as I said, believe the same truths. They all wait for the same Lord, but not all make preparation. Those who do not prepare will not receive the latter rain. The foolish virgins made no preparation. They failed to study the Word of God. They failed to discern the signs of the times. They failed to study the Spirit of prophecy. They failed to make any preparation for the future. They only made preparation for now. Do you suppose they were insincere in what they were doing? Do you suppose they didn't care one way or the other? I think they did care. I think they had a sincere desire, really, to meet the Lord. But sincereness is not enough. We can say, I want to meet the Lord. I want to prepare for the coming time of trouble. And in our hearts, we can really be sincere in this. But as long as we just mouth this statement and make no effort, nothing will ever happen. We'll never change. Sincereness is not enough. Eve was very sincere when she ate of the forbidden fruit. She was very sincere that what the serpent told her was true. But we realize what happened in that case. We have many counsels that have been given to us to show the church its great need. From volume 5, page 716 and 717. My brethren, do you not realize that your own salvation, as well as the destiny of other souls, depend upon the preparation you are now making for the trial before us? Have you that intensity of zeal, piety, and devotion, which will enable you to stand when opposition is brought against you? The time that so many are now wasting should be devoted to the charge that God has given us of preparing for the approaching crisis. Let me read that last sentence again. The time that so many are now wasting should be devoted to the charge that God has given us of preparing for the approaching crisis. And oh my, we waste so much time that should be spent in study of the Word of God and study of the spirit of prophecy, so that our lamps will have oil for today and oil for tomorrow as well. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. This is verses 11 and verses 13 and 14. Is also a good verse that goes along with that. Put on the whole armor of God. Study all of the counsels that God's messenger has given us. Study all of the Word of God. Begin now to make preparation. From Counsels on Stewardship, page 228. Those who make no decided effort, but simply wait for the Holy Spirit to compel them to action, will perish in darkness. You are not to sit still and do nothing in the work of God. So many times as I travel about, I find folk that say, well, one day the Holy Spirit is going to take possession of me. One day when the latter rain comes and the Spirit of God is poured out, the Lord is going to just compel me to do work for Him. If you're waiting for that day to happen, it'll never come. And the light that you now bear will go out in darkness. As long as we sit and wait for the Holy Spirit, we are to begin now to work for God. Now to make preparation. What are the factors in this preparation? First thing that you and I should do in order to be prepared for the coming crisis, the approaching storm, study of the Bible and of the spirit of prophecy. If we made a list, this would have to go at the top of the preparation to stand in the coming storm. Study of the Word of God and study of the Bible. From Great Controversy 6:25, only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love and the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusions that will take the world captive. Only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures. We've been studying for the past several services concerning the powerful delusions that will take the whole world captive. And denomination after denomination is opening their doors to this delusion. And the members are being swept up in it. And the servant of the Lord says, only those who are diligent students of the Word of God will be shielded. You know, that's the key word right there. Shielded. And what will be the shield? The Word of God will be the shield that will protect us from the powerful delusion that will take the whole world captive. Volume 4, page 391. Many are going directly contrary to the light which God has given to His people because they do not read the books which contain the light and knowledge and cautions, reproofs, and warnings. Study of the Word of God is given to us in Great Controversy 6:25. Study of the Spirit of Prophecy as we are urged in Volume 4, 391. You know, so many times I go into Seventh-day Adventist homes, and I don't like to tell this, but most of the times when I go in, I pay close attention to their bookcase. And oh, I see the red books there. I see the Conflict of the Ages series. I see many other good books. And you know, a lot of times I take my finger and I run it over the top of the book. And there is the covering of dust to show the books are never opened. You know, I'm afraid so many of us have them on our shelves, you know, for so that the pastor or the elder comes, he can look over and see, well, they've got the spirit of prophecy here. But as long as they're left on the shelves, they're doing us no good. Many are going directly contrary to the light which God has given to His people because they do not read the books which contain the light and the knowledge and cautions, reproofs, and warnings. I don't know about anybody else, but I am so thankful for the Spirit of Prophecy because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because of the Spirit of Prophecy and because of the wonderful counsels that I read in those books before I ever heard of such a thing as a Seventh-day Adventist. And brothers and sisters, let me give you a word of warning. If you neglect to read and study the Spirit of Prophecy like God has commanded us to, somebody else is going to read it and somebody else is going to study it and somebody else is going to take your place in the kingdom if you fail to read these words
that are contained therein.
Oh, well, I don't like to read the spirit of prophecy.
Oh, how often I've heard that.
When I read the spirit of prophecy, I see things in there that I'm condemned over doing.
Well, that's the reason the Lord has placed them there.
So that we can read those reproofs and those warnings, and we can apply them to our own heart. And we can apply the message that God has given in those books to our own heart, and it can do us good.
You know, so often when I read the spirit of prophecy, so most of the time in the testimonies, I'll run across something and it'll fit my description perfectly.
And I will, if I didn't know any better, the servant of the Lord was writing about me, the faults and the shortcomings and the failures that I have. And you know what's the good thing about it? I can read a little bit further on down and I can find the answer. I can find the answer to solve the problem, the shortcomings and the failures and the mistakes that I've made. The answer and the cure is given right there. If you'll study the Word of God and study the spirit of prophecy, you will lay a foundation that will stand during the coming storm. They're very important because God's Word and the spirit of prophecy, they're a light unto our path. They give us instruction concerning the days that are just ahead. The second foundation block in making a preparation for the time of trouble, for the coming time of crisis, is communion with God, fervent prayer. Oh, so often I wonder how so many of God's people get by on so little prayer. Sometimes we think the elders are going to do all our praying for us, you know. And it's the elders' job on Sabbath morning to pray down here for us, and it is. And our elders do a good job. But the elder cannot pray for you. The elder cannot send up the prayers that you should be sending up. Fervent communion with God. You know, if we husbands didn't talk to our wives once in a while, they'd think something was wrong. And they'd begin to get alarmed if we didn't carry on some kind of communication with them. And you know, that's a daily communication. How much more our Heavenly Father when we never take time to talk to Him? You know, so often we say, well, I don't want to bother God. But you know, we can't bother God. He's like a father. He loves for us to pour out our troubles and our sorrows and our heartaches and our fears and our problems and the things that perplex us. He loves for us to pour them in His lap. He loves to take those things that we can't handle. You know, when we pour out our problems and our heartaches and our sorrows and our perplexing things before the Lord in His lap and say, Lord, I've struggled with them long enough, now here they are. He just takes them and sorts it all out and works things out beautifully. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. You know, so often we don't know what fervent prayer is. But you get in a tight spot. You get in an automobile, so to speak, and you're fixing to run into somebody else, and it looks like you can't do anything to keep from having a wreck. You'll do some fervent praying then, won't you? Yes, sir. You'll send up some mighty fervent prayers. And that prayer will come from the heart. Lord, I really... And you know, so often that's about all we do. The only time we do pray. We think sometimes that prayer is like an aspirin bottle to be taken only when needed, you know. And we put it up on the shelf and we only pray whenever we got some kind of problem. But it has to be daily communication with God. That is the second building block in making a preparation for the coming time of trouble that lies ahead of us. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, 454. They should make mighty intercessions with God for help when? Now. The love of Christ must be diffused in their own hearts. The Spirit of Christ must be poured out upon them. They must be making ready to stand in the judgment. Mighty intercession. Now, we are told. You know, I think back to Jacob as he was going out to meet his brother the next day. What did Jacob do that night before? We know that he was facing, in his own thoughts, a terrible time. There was animosity between him and his brother. So to speak, they hated one another. And Jacob did not know that his brother might not be laying plans to kill him when he laid eyes on him. What did Jacob do, Bible students, before he went out to meet his brother the next day? What did he do that night? He prayed. Did he pray 5 minutes? Did he say, Lord, I'm going to meet my brother tomorrow and there may be some kind of trouble. Won't you do something about it? Amen. How long did he pray? All night. He agonized and he wrestled with God. He laid hold of the angel of God. And what did he say? I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Lord, I will not let you go until I get the answer to my prayers. And it's necessary for you and I to watch and to pray with the same fervor that Jacob prayed that night. I will not let you go, Lord, until I get an answer. And you know what? When we pray and we're sincere and we're honest, the answer comes every time. I have yet to have the Lord disappoint me, because He doesn't disappoint His children. Study the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy, the foundation. Communion with God, fervent prayer, the cornerstone. And when we begin, when we apply these two things as a principle in our life, something will happen. Our lives will be transformed. The third thing, and we might want to say, so to speak, the framework of the building, cleansing from sin and victory over weakness. Great Controversy 6:20. Satan leads many to believe that God will overlook their unfaithfulness in the minor affairs of life, but the Lord shows in His dealings with Jacob that He will in no wise sanction or tolerate evil. All who endeavor to excuse or conceal their sins and permit them to remain on the books of heaven unconfessed and unforgiven will be overcome by Satan. You know, brothers and sisters, there's something funny that I have observed in my years of being a Seventh-day Adventist. So many Seventh-day Adventists, or I won't say so many, but let me say a great number of Seventh-day Adventists are of the opinion, well, I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm saved no matter what I do. And I have had numbers of people to leave that impression, and some of them make that plain statement. The Lord will overlook all these things because I'm a member of His church. But you know, He judges His church closer than He does anybody else, because we have more light than anybody else in the world, and we are held accountable for more. We must be cleansed from sin. We must kneel at the foot of the cross, have the blood of Jesus to cover us and to wash us free. And then we must go forth and try to live every day and make continual upward progress. Joel 2:12. This is one of those books that is hard to find, and I always have to look in the front of my Bible to find what the page number is. Joel 2:12. Turn therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth them of the evil. Joel says, pray, fast, seek to cast out everything in your life that's displeasing to the Lord. You know, only those that go through the time of trouble will be those whose sins are covered by the blood of the Lord and who are living every day with their lives in the hands of Jesus. And we are told that during this time that they will look and try to find some sin that is unconfessed, and they will not be able to find any. And if they had sins that was unconfessed, their sins would come up like a great flood and overwhelm them, and they would be lost. So if we are planned for the great time of trouble that lie ahead, we've got to be cleansed from sin. We've got to know that Jesus is our Savior, and know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and know that we are being saved and being sanctified, and we have got to commit everything else under the hands of the Lord. Early Writings 71. Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus perfectly. You know, so often we've heard that statement made. And all that simply means is living in such a way that your life reflects the life of Jesus. Oh, we will never reach the stage of human sinlessness. Let us not fool ourselves to think that there will ever come a day when you and I will be perfect individuals. That day will never come. But brothers and sisters, we're to strive and do our best, and the Savior makes up the rest. He makes up the difference. So that when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Perfect righteousness. Given freely as a gift. And only those who, when God looks at them, He sees Jesus reflected back, they're the only ones that will stand. cleansing from sin, and victory over evil. The fourth part of our building as we are completing it here is a complete surrender to God. You know, so often we say, well, I'm a Christian and the Lord has complete charge of my life, except. And there's that little except. I do love this, or I do love that, or I do love the other. It's got to be completely surrendered to God. We can hold back no area of our life. The Lord says it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Complete surrender to God. A statement taken from Steps to Christ that I just love, and I have it close to me all the time. Steps to Christ, page 70. Consecrate yourselves to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, O Lord, take me as holy thine. I lay all my plans at your feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This, she says, is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to God to be carried out or given up at His provision. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. We cannot give ourselves to Christ for the rest of our lives. It's only today. Today, I am Jesus's. Today, Christ is the supreme one in my life. And Lord, here are my plans. I lay them at your feet. You know, so often we get up and we've already got the day's routine planned out. We're going to do thus and thus and thus and thus. And woe be unto the fellow that dares interrupt our program or our plan for that day. But we're to lay it in the hands of Jesus. And you know, I have found that as we surrender, as I surrender everything to Jesus, and I say, Lord, here's what I'd like to do, and if it meets your approval, I'll do it, and if it doesn't meet your approval, I won't do it. And I have found, as I do that day by day, and I give my life over into Christ's hands day by day, and He takes charge, and He takes control, things go so much better. Things go so much better. You know, when it seemed like that I was getting a call, so to speak, to do more work for the Lord than I had done in the past, I've always been a diligent worker, I suppose. A little bit better, I like to think, than most laymen in the church. But then the Lord seemed like began to open up a few more doors for me to go out into fields of greater service. And I said in my own human thoughts, Lord, I don't want to do this. That's human nature. Human nature is stay at home with your family, enjoy the blessings that, you know, the family brings, be there with them. But you know, when our lives are molded after the likeness of Christ and they're laid in His hands and He takes those, the life and the things that we would not rather do, we lay them at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, He brings a complete change in our life. He brings a complete change in our life. And I have found this to be so. As I said, my human nature is to stay at home. But when we are molded after the likeness of Christ, we are His, and we go at His bidding. We go where He sends us. And I have found this. All His biddings are enablings. He never calls us to do anything without He provides the tools for the work to be done, without He provides the material. And I found this to be so. Lay day by day at the feet of Jesus. And you notice she says, thus day by day you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the likeness of Christ. And one day when God looks out of heaven down at you, He will see Jesus reflected back instead of your weak person. Number five, a diligent work for Christ. This perhaps, if Seventh-day Adventists have any failings or shortcomings, this is it. As I've said to you so many times, we look at the elders and the minister, it's their job. But brothers and sisters, it is not the elders and the minister's job to finish the work of God. The elders and the ministers will never finish the work of God. We have good elders, we have good ministers, and they're doing all they possibly can to finish the work of God. But until you take their hand and go out with them in the work, it will never be finished. You must engage in the work. Oh, I'm not a preacher. You are. Every one of you is a minister. Every one of you is a worker for God or for Satan.
your life tells the tale. Some folks we've all heard the story of a group that was discussing various translations of the Bible. And one liked the King James Version and one liked the New Jerusalem Bible and the different Bibles. And finally they asked one man, says, which version of the Bible do you like the best? He says, I like my mother's version the best. Well, I didn't know your mother had wrote a Bible, translated the Bible. I see it in her life every day. We are ministers for Christ. And somebody is looking at you. Somebody's life is being influenced by your life, either for good or for evil. And therefore, again, what a tremendous responsibility it places on you to hold the torch of God high so that the world can see the love of Christ shining forth. A diligent work. Volume 5, page 452. We are to be as men waiting for the Lord, not in idle expectancy, but in earnest work with unwavering faith. It is no time now to allow our minds to be engrossed with things of minor importance. We're living on the very borders of the heavenly world, and the work must be done. And if you plan to go through the storm that lies just ahead, you better be working for Christ now. I ran across a little statement in the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy just this week. She's speaking of spiritual sickness. She said, the greatest cure in the world for spiritual sickness is to get out and do something for somebody else. Get out and go to work for the Lord. And you'll find your own life. You know, that's the way it is. Folks say, oh, you just bless us so much and I don't do anything because when I leave, I carry back four or five times more blessings than I brought with me. And Joanne says a lot of times when I tell about the different places I go and the blessings that I've got and how wonderful the people are, she said, you're just like a little young'un, you know. The Lord just the feeble things that I try to do for Him. Well, He just opens up the windows of heaven, and when I try to do 1 minute's work for Him, it seems like He pours out 4 or 5 hours of blessing. Diligent work for Christ will transform your life. You just try it. You just try it. Point number 7, as we are making preparation for the time of trouble that lies ahead, and one of the most important points, rebuild the broken altars. Rebuild the broken altars in our homes. You know, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I heard a lot about family worship, you know, morning and evening worship, and I understand that years and years ago that used to be the thing in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That you gathered your family around you in the mornings. You gathered your family around you in the evenings. And you had worship together. And your home was built upon a strong foundation. But somehow over the years, the practice has gotten away. And folks don't have altars anymore. They don't have family altars. But you read the Old Testament through, and you will find that every time that the children of Israel remade their covenant with the Lord and came back to the Lord and experienced the great blessing of the Lord, the first thing they did was rebuild the broken altars. Cleanse the sanctuary. Make things right again. And I can say this, just speaking from my own experience, not anybody else's. When we begin to have morning and evening worship in our home, it does something for you. It brings you close together as a family as you gather to pray. Rebuild the family altars. That is perhaps, if we made a list of the things we had to do in order to make sure our children were saved in the kingdom of God, that would be number one. If they can see the power of God at work in mother and father's life, and if they can see that mama and daddy lives at home just like they live at church, and if they can see that mother and daddy have the same zeal and the same vigor and the same devotion to God at home like they do in church, then the children will be influenced for the kingdom of God. If we will rebuild those broken altars, perhaps it's been years, months since you had family worship in your home. If you want to prepare to stand during the time of the final crisis that lies just ahead, you rebuild those altars. You clean out the cluttered up avenue between you and God. And you let the praises ascend upward and the blessings will come down. We're living in serious times. We must make preparation. And let's briefly run over those again. Study of the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy is our foundation.
Communion with God in fervent prayer is our cornerstone. Cleansing from sin in victory over weakness. A complete surrender to God. Work diligently for Christ and rebuild the family altars. Those are our supports. And if we'll put those practices into our life, if we'll begin to practice that, when the time of trouble breaks upon this world, it will find us prepared as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. We will not have to be scrambling making some type of preparation. As we consider the seriousness of the time we live in, may God help us as His people to comprehend the importance of being ready. May He help us to see first of all our own needs. And may He cause us to seek with all of our heart to get a genuine, true experience with God. Because only such an experience will enable us to pass triumphantly through the final hours of the time of trial. Only a genuine experience with God will enable us to go through the time of trouble. Only a genuine experience with God will enable us to be among that number who one day will lift up their arms in welcome and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him and He has come to deliver us." You know, I think so often of that day and of the joy that it will bring. And my heart goes out and I pray, "Oh Lord, I want to be among that number." But desire is not enough. If I be among that number who lifts up their hands in joyous welcome of their returning Lord, my preparation must be made here and it must be made now. Preparation for the final crisis, it's up to you. Will you be prepared or will that day overwhelm you as a flood? I cannot answer it for you. You alone must answer this question. Shall we pray? Dear Father, this weekend has been a high point in my life personally. It has been another mountaintop experience as You have just blessed my heart tremendously with the love and the warmth and the fellowship and the prayers of these dear saints here in this area. And I hope, Father, through some small way that I've been a channel through which Your blessings could flow forward to them as I have received of Your blessings. We have studied some serious things this weekend. And I pray, Father, that myself included, that we will begin to think and think very seriously about the tremendous responsibilities that You offer us. The tremendous opportunities for service that You give us. And the wonderful privilege of being a love slave that You have given to us. And I pray, Father, that as we consider the seriousness of the time, that we will be motivated to begin to make our preparation if we are not already doing so. And if we are making preparation, that we will double and redouble our preparation so that when the time of trouble comes, we can pass through it victoriously and we can join that number who will welcome our Savior Jesus with open arms as He comes to take us home. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel to reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.